So, Stacy, Roger.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys being here.
Thanks for having us.
With D-Unity Group. Mm-hmm. Another excellent showcase of you guys being within our network for such a long period of time. The MP Group presents everything that we've had going on, co-branding, co-marketing with everyone around us. You guys have been some of the most ever-present faces in our network. So I relish the opportunity to open up the floor for you guys to tell us what you have going on, what you're looking for, and kind of explain that to our audience. But I wanted to ask first, how did we wander upon each other? What was the status of your business at you know, COVID days?
Before COVID days, majority of our business is referral based. I would say 80% of people know us from different situations, that kind of stuff. And we have been known as the government people for 13 years.
Probably longer than that.
We've had our business 13 years, but I spent time in the, you know, working federal government, and Roger's retired military. So, I mean, just people knew that we were branching off. And I think I had gotten a, you know, request to be part of your MP group. And I thought, you know, what the heck? It's just a virtual thing. What could be good or bad, whatever. That was March of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've expanded. I've hired an assistant. We have somebody who does more website marketing for our clients, because marketing to the government is different than marketing to the outside.
How are you getting your clients before March? Because I know now, being so present in the networking space,
mm-hmm.
we see you everywhere. So I know where you're getting your clients from now, because we've introduced ourselves to so many people. What was business pre-COVID for you? Was it handshakes and face-to-face networking, or were you guys obtaining clients from a different place? Because I can't imagine there's a ton of networking events for everyone that wants to sell something to the government.
Right. We used to go to conferences. We would be, you know, speakers. We went to sometimes their city bids or the, you know, state bids to kind of help support them. So, yeah, it was a mixture. But we have had clients all over the U.S. and overseas. So working virtually is nothing new to us. But I think, as I just said this the other day, it's kind of like that military. You adapt and overcome whatever the situation is, and then we go from there, you know. I think that's one of the reasons Roger and I kind of work really well together, because he's kind of the quieter one. He's a little methodical about things and kind of making sure systems are in place. And I'm about developing the relationship and let's get things started.
Mm-hmm.
So
has COVID something that, like, has your average transaction or deal, or has that changed? Are you doing 12 deals a year pre-COVID that are X size, and now you're doing 52 deals post-COVID that are X size? Or what is the frequency increasing? Because it seems like a lot more acquisition is at the forefront of what you guys are doing.
Well, I think it has increased exponentially due to the fact that, you know, the old saying is there's always a silver lining in these dark clouds, so to speak. But I think it gave a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, a little time to kind of sit back and says, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Or what are we not doing? And so we have been more inclined to look at the business holistically, in addition to the government space, so to speak. So in some aspects, it's given those businesses a chance to kind of reset and see where their pitfalls are or where their challenges are versus what, you know, before pre-COVID, let's put it that way. So in some ways, it's been a little bit of a blessing in disguise, you want to look at it that way. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So tell me this. So government contracts, outline a couple of things for me. Mm-hmm. What is the need that would have to present itself in my business for me to seek out your service? And what does government contracts mean? What are you actually contracting on behalf of these businesses and the government? What is an example of one of those products or services?
Where should we start? I like to use good examples that people can kind of relate to. So if you think about the road here, you know, coming to your house or to the office, that bridge area,
mm-hmm.
that's a government contract. that involves state and county right there. So they had to figure out, hey, and there, I'm sure there's a little bit of federal money because it's off of 285 or 75. So that is saying, hey, we need someone to grade the road. We need someone to get rid of concrete, those kind of things. And so they decide, are we going to go with a big construction firm who specializes in road, mm-hmm. or are we going to go small business?
Like a C.W. Matthews, right. versus like a local.
Right, local, you know, Joe's, whatever. What happens is the federal government, with its new administration, there's changes, which is good and bad for some businesses, you know? And this one is, how do we stimulate the economy because of the COVID? So what we do is, a small business can hire somebody tomorrow, like as soon as they need somebody, right? If you're working for C.W. Matthews or Brasfor & Gore, they take on average 6 to 9 months to hire somebody. So it's not as easy to get a project ramped up and then, oh, by the way, I got to add personnel. And that's how contracting kind of gets started in that aspect. And what we're seeing, and I saw this today in a conference I was in this morning, big firms are reaching out to small firms, letting the small firm be the lead and they're the back end so they can support them. So if they do win a road construction, hey, you can borrow our, like I call it borrow your team, but it's that right of refusal, get somebody from their team to be on your team so that we can keep going, sure. you know? But people don't realize the government buys all sorts of things. I mean, I don't know if you're old enough to know, but we bought toilets that were too expensive, remember? And Roger and I think I've had this conversation with Mike here about, you know, work overseas. All our soldiers, that's a government contract because all our soldiers can only do so much. Then they got to have housing. They've got to have be fed. And those are all contracts that
sure.
small businesses, even big businesses, they all work it together. We've seen some firms go from small and they become big because of those contracts because they're long term. They're not
sure.
one-time deals. They're usually 2 to 5 year. So now we're seeing a couple 10-year contracts, those kind of things.
So what? And would you say that a small business has obviously both have their competitive advantage if you're talking about, you know, choking a truck versus, you know, the C.W. Matthews, right. something like that. C.W. Matthews understands what that work is going to take and how to close that deal.
Right.
But the, I'm assuming less overhead. If you find someone that's very well versed in the actual structure of those, the chuck in the truck probably has the advantage there. Is there some advantage with, you know, less overhead, more specificity of equipment, stuff like that for a small business is, I guess what I'm asking is if they have the help of someone like you that knows kind of how to package and understands the verbiage or something like that, would you say that a small business is kind of at an advantage versus a C.W. Matthews in mm-hmm. a sales position?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things that is very important in this world of government contracting, albeit whether it's at the local level all the way up to the federal level, is understanding all the rules and regulations around it. The process from one spectrum to another is pretty much the same. They have a need. Then they go out and then the government officials will go out and do what they call market research. Who's out there that can do this? And then they will submit an RFP or a request for proposal out there, or an RFI, request for information, just to see who's going to respond, you know, in those aspects. And then once, you know, they have someone, a certain amount of businesses to respond, then they will award the contract based upon 4 different factors. One of the factors being obviously past performance is very key nowadays. How well they are managed within and from within and externally. I'm trying to think what's the other one. Technical aptitude.
And best value.
Technical aptitude, best value, those types of things. So there's about 4 different basic things that they usually look at to ensure that they're getting their money's worth. Because it's kind of like a report card,
you know. So when they put sure. in their bid, they kind of, and it's not always about cheapest anymore. Because as you know, roads cheap, what happens? We end up refilling potholes, sinkholes, all that kind of stuff. So depending on what the product or service, it's, but it can be very daunting for even a business that we work with right now, there's 5 employees. You got office manager, HR, you know, the owner, that kind of stuff. And then you got to learn a whole nother language of government. And that's not, you know, yes, there's some places that you can get free information, but we call it like the fire hose. It's so much information. Yeah. It's like, now, and we always get the call. We heard you guys are the ones that could tell us now what. And that's kind of one of the reasons a lot of veterans like us, because we, veteran businesses, we tell them step number one, this is what you got to do. Step number two, step number three. And these are the expectations. These are, you know, that's why government loves working with veterans, because they know there's a process. They know that there's steps, and this is how you get approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, this is something else that I'm curious about. When you say federal money, government money, state money, I understand what that means, but how much of it is there, and where is it, and where does it come from?
Well, as you can see,
because that's something I can't wrap my head around.
Like, yeah,
how does the federal government say we're going to spend XYZ on this bridge on off of 75 here?
Right.
How does that process even begin?
Really, believe it or not, it really starts with something simple as the census. So when this, like the city of Acworth grows to a certain level, when they do the census and they go, oh, you're now, instead of 10,000 people in your radius, now you're at 50,000 people. You're growing so fast. We have to look at that population and look at economics and stimulation, that kind of stuff. And so that's where step number one happens. Step number two is the federal government says every state has a budget. They have to figure out, is that enough? And that's when you can go, hey, in our census, in Georgia especially, we've grown so much in the, 10 years since our last census, we're going to have different kind of money. And depending on what city and what county you are, you're going to have different kind of money too. We saw this happen, and I always share the story a lot, but we saw this happen in Valdosta. They went from a little town of Valdosta with a military base. Now they're considered a city, and they had $5 million that needed to be spent to stimulate the small businesses so they could get some of that federal money. Okay. So some of it is a grant to the city to go out for contracts. Sometimes it's, hey, here's a contract. Let's do training. Let's teach them, you know, these various parts and pieces. So every city and county has rules and expectations, but the money comes from the feds, and then the fed divvy is out, and they tell them, go divvy this out.
Okay.
So they break it down.
As they break it down into these segments, one of the first segment you mentioned was that transportation.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those areas are ideal clients for you guys?
Wow. One.
Because now all I'm thinking of, yes, like all I'm thinking of, is roads.
Yes.
You know, now that is the only thing on my mind, is anybody that can bust up and recreate a road,
right,
or a bridge. What are, you know, some potential also in, you know, ideal clients for you guys in terms of people that could have that service that,
right,
is renderable in this way?
The hot button for this year is cybersecurity training, not just selling the software, because the government is really, really having an issue with processes of cybersecurity. That's one of the other thing is
medical supplies.
Medical supplies is a big problem. And then the other platform, of course, is education. You know, finding good technology to handle 150 students. You know, Zoom can only handle so much, and Google Hangouts can. So they're going to, I just heard of one today called BlueJean. You know, that's another, there's more apps and more technology. But the thing is, the government wants to cure stuff, because I happened to be on it. Roger wasn't on it, but Clayton County got hacked in the middle of their county meeting, and it was not appropriate for anybody at that point, but they couldn't get him off because their CIO was nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we're learning from this COVID, as Roger would say, it's a good and bad situation. But if you're a good business and you're up to date with technology, you will know how to pitch that to a university or even to a regular school district to say, hey, here's a platform we can help you so your children are secure. There's no hacking and, you know, those kind of things. Because this is not going to go away in that quick of a time anytime soon.
Well, one of the biggest other things that's probably going to become more prevalent is logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say logistics, I'm talking, you know, in this COVID era, so to speak, of getting the vaccines to the places where they need be, especially now that the new administration trying to get the vaccines out to just recently here, all the Walgreens and the CVSs and the drugstores and whatnot. There's only so much the big boys are going to be able to do. And then therein lies subcontracting with those big boys, so to speak, in order to give the small businesses a chance to obviously perform, and also helps the larger corporations as well.
It's like getting that credit history.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't have any credit history, no matter how much, you know, money you have, or how good you are with your word, you got to have some of that. Got to have some rental history before you can rent your first house.
Right, right.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, and like a Walgreens, they have to have, they've been requested by the federal government to set aside so much to small businesses too. I think there's going to be, they're working on more accountability on that. So it's not just here, I registered in your little database. It's got to be more than that now. You know, they're spending more realization in the last couple, you know, last 5 years that it wasn't really happening. People mm-hmm. registered to Starbucks. Believe it or not, 80% of the stuff that's on the shelves, from the cups that are being made to coffee to the snacks, those are all small businesses that Starbucks. Yeah, they subcontract in Starbucks. And like, I think I read somewhere, oh, I know Target is doing, you know, for Black History Month, they're looking for small businesses, Black owned minority businesses, and they're going to have a highlight. That's a contract for them that sure. people don't realize. But the thing is, I always joke and say, look, you better be ready for that. You have to plan that out. It doesn't happen tomorrow. And it's an investment, because we, you know, our knowledge is our knowledge, but also we are not here to steer you wrong. We're here to make you successful. And we always say, if we can all eat at the table together, then why not to go to another project versus you sure. eat and we sit here and watch you, you know?
Sure. I want to frame this question correctly. Is the federal money never ending?
As long as you're paying taxes.
As long as you're paying taxes.
So yeah. then this, you know, at this point, honestly, by the time this podcast is released, who knows how many X trillion dollars is going to be given in relief? Is that going to impact how much money they spend mm-hmm. per state? Is now you're taking away some of that money that they were going to give back in federal, state, city,
so,
city grants. And,
right. Now, so if you go into usspending.gov, you can look at each state and
pull
how much.
Pull that up really quick and put it up here.
Yeah. So if you look at each state, like Georgia had, I think, $1.7 billion. And then you can see where they spent the money on. Like every county.
Oh, wow.
Like it is down to the, I mean, literally the industries that they're in.
Guess we deserve that. It's our money.
It is your money. But yes, they're, you know, making more money. But the thing is, we will end up paying it somehow on the back end.
Okay.
So they're
that makes a lot of sense. Okay, how? More taxes?
More taxes or more...
Just more taxes in the right place, probably.
Probably in penalties or other things in, you know, in that aspect. It's just like people are asking about the student loans, and if they wipe them clean, what does that look like? You know, are we going to end up having to pay it in taxes again?
Pay $20 trillion in taxes somewhere else.
But, you know, people don't realize... The United States, in our tax situation, we don't pay as much as most countries do.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
And so people need to understand that. And we used to joke with businesses saying, look, if you want to get your tax dollars back, go get a government contract.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I mean...
Make them pay you for it.
Yeah, make you pay for it.
You have to pay
right.
taxes on that,
so
too.
This is just kind of the thing with COVID. But up on the top, if you go back up... you can get it down to the states. Go to the main one again. But you can go in there and you can see. I can't remember.
States, yeah.
Say, there you go. So put Georgia in there. See if I was writing my number.
Actually, you can just scroll down.
Yeah, you can just scroll down, hit Georgia. Oh, I was off. I was $97 billion.
Sorry. Face value of loans.
Mm-hmm. Those are
$38 billion,
mm-hmm.
huh?
That's it. So you can see, and you can see the grants that come out.
And so they've changed this dashboard up a little, it seems, probably, so, because there's more, this direct payments is such a wide...
Right, the PPE, a lot of people don't understand what that looks like, why they're spending this money. It's to stimulate the economy, basically. Sure. So if you...
Keep the wheel moving.
Keep the wheel moving, yeah. And see, you can see the years where it's gone up and down, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
And what drives that mostly? What drives the swing? I mean, up and down.
Sometimes it's administration. Sometimes it's money, slow money. Where we had the dip right there was when we had government shutdown. People don't realize how big difference that can make in that aspect.
Well, obviously, Wall Street has a lot to do with,
you know, financials,
the economy, and also what's going on in the world around us.
Yeah,
you know, we.
Well, there's times where I think of it as a small business a lot too. There's times where the United States has to hold their money closer to the chest than other times they can be a little more free. Look,
go down, see where it says county. So you can see number one county is spending about $14 billion.
Okay. Fulton DeKalb, Cobb, Gwinnett.
Yeah. And Cobb County.
There's a place in Atlanta that you can stand and hit a golf ball to all four of those places.
It is. But I think Cobb County is going to get bigger. Because they've grown so much, and Gwinnett's another one.
Gwinnett's got so many schools, though.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many schools.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is just
go up to where this codes.
Yeah, those are the industry codes. What is your specialty? What areas? You can see we spend a lot on social services, Social Security Administration stuff.
Which will do nothing but go up.
Mm-hmm. Medical, the biggest, one of our biggest employers is CDC here. So you're going to see a lot of that aspects of it. Yeah.
So as you can see, the awarding agencies, the Social Security Administration actually is leading the pack, so to speak.
Right now.
And why do you think that is? It's a lot of people are living much longer and, you know, they're retiring.
So the algorithm we bet on in 60, you know. Two or 66.
And then you can see
working against us.
Right. And the VA is huge here in Georgia because you have to think about there are 7 active military bases plus National Guard's reserve units and then retired military. Right now, Georgia's at 1 million retired military, which is a lot for our state.
Okay. 1 million at $6 billion only leaves like $7,000 per. A year?
Mm-hmm. So
gross.
Yeah, but this is one of my favorite databases I like to share because they don't really... And this is Progress, by the way. This used to be on paper. So people don't understand. I worked in government when we were still in paper, you know? So this was data analytics at another level. So to get that from a book to on the web, this was a big contract, by the way.
And you see this... these numbers and you see opportunity.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
And grab small pieces of each of these numbers and allocate them to the people that you represent.
Right.
Is success on behalf of your clients.
Right.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Because one of the things is you hear about them, but you don't understand what it means. Or you were like, I have one lady, she used to work for IBM. Now she's out on her own. She goes, how do I get back and get a contract that IBM had because I know they can't do it? So then we were researching to get her into that door for various reasons because she's a consultant, that kind of thing. But
does her name start with a W?
No, not yet. I know.
That's another one. She's doing something similar.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I've never thought about it that way. So what is the total number? Like, what is the amount transacted that you guys are looking? What does that look like for you? Are you guys grabbing... you know, 1 billion of these or 1 million of these or 100,000 of these? Because I know you're saying 2 to 5 year projects. So I want to ask is, from a business perspective, how many of these clients do you close a year and how much of that money is going to these clients? And what's their routing and account number?
Oh, we could tell you some horror stories of misappropriating funds of government contracts. They're in jail.
Business owners?
Business owners, yeah. There was a guy... I guess I can share that. There's a guy who bought himself a Maserati. He bought himself a sports car, bought a $100,000 belt buckle, had his daughter on a private jet to go to a bar mitzvah, What else did he do? It was like $2.5 million he totally misappropriated.
Yeah.
And he went to jail for sure.
10 plus years. And he will never be able to bid on a federal contract. He'll never ever be able to vote. I mean, people don't realize the other outcomes of that situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And is that, do you kind of handhold people through that as well as, hey, we're glad we got to this point. You got a direct deposit. It's awesome. Now, what do we do with that keeps you
sustainable
in the green with the government?
Right.
So that is something that you guys do as
because,
well.
So our story is I met Roger at MBA school, and I got hired. I was the second person hired. This company had won a government contract, and I had worked on other government contracts. And he says, I need you to hire 50 employees in a month. This is the beginning of the month, by the way. I said, sir, I don't know if that's going to be possible. He goes, if they're veterans, that's even better. So all I heard was veteran. I'm sitting next to Roger, and he's like, yeah, I'm working for this card company, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with my career. And I said, how about coming to work for us?
Ironically, I was working for a credit card processing company at the
really?
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just doing my thing. And she kept at me about, doing this, based upon my military acumen, so to speak, and so here we are today, still.
16 years later, right?
So what is the scale that you guys operate that? Is your goal to win 100 of these contracts a year? Is it 10 of these contracts a year? Is it 2 of them a year?
We, depending on the client, is kind of the structure. And what we've been doing, that's probably most important, Bailey, is not everybody's meant to be in government contracting. So we have a kind of a sweet spot. We like them to be in business a couple years. We'd like them to revenue, closer to like 250, because then they have it in their budget.
And we like them to listen. Mm-hmm. And I say that with all sincerity, because what happens is they will see the dollar signs. Mm-hmm. And they're just jumping through themselves that they want to go and do this. And it's like, well, let's just hold on for a second. Let's look at some things here and see if you're even ready to go this route. And sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. And I always tell them, I say, it doesn't hurt to back off for 6 months or get yourself prepared to do so, because it's a different beast. Government contracting, regardless of whether it's at the state level, local level, federal level, what have you, and even at the international level, it's about relationships. It's about building relationships. The Department of Defense, this is giving you an example, probably has, 3/4 of a billion businesses doing business with them. Okay. And you're one business. And so you have to be able to do your homework, do your due diligence, research. Where do I fit in with this? And we can help you with that. As I call it, I can help you. I can teach you how to fish, but I'm not going to fish for you. Okay. A lot of people are very, I just want to do the work. Well, no, you, at some point you have to learn what this process is so that you can sustain it. Otherwise, you're going to crash and burn. And that's the last thing you want to do with any kind of government work, is crash and burn, even if it's at your local level.
Because mm-hmm, they will not forget.
They won't forget.
You get one try.
You get one try, exactly.
It's very important that you learn the rules and regulations. In this case, with the federal level, it's the FARs, we call it, Federal Acquisition Regulations. But you don't have to know everything about it. You just need to understand where to go look for certain things.
Well,
so
and that's,
that you can keep yourself out of trouble.
Yeah, and I think what happens is, people want to hire an HR person. Now they can't because their budgets are cut. So now that's kind of, we always tell people, we're the back end. If you were to hire somebody with a government experience, you're spending at least $100,000 plus benefits and all that. Where if you did a fourth of that or a half of that and had a team of us, that's all we are, our whole expertise, then we can get you in front of the government agency. And by the way, we tell you, don't say this. This is what you're going to look like. This is what you're going to do. Because guess what? You let them drive the conversation. You can't drive the conversation.
Sure.
And I think that's the other big thing that people don't understand. In private industry, yeah, you can push. But in government, it doesn't quite work that way.
Sure. You're not doing all the active selling. Mm-mm. You're filling a void. You're mm-hmm. fitting into that need. Mm-hmm. What type of oversight or handholding do you get from the federal government once you win these contracts? As, you know, I'm Bailey's, you know, XYZ company, then mm-hmm. I'm doing roads, right. I'm doing infrastructure for the city of Acworth,
right.
And I want to win one of these government contracts, and I win it for, you know, $1 billion for easy math.
Right.
What is there to do now? I have a boss. Is now I have a sightseer. You know, I have a parrot that lives over my shoulder built by the government.
Or, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll say, yep. They'll say, hey, we need you to have this section done within this time period. Now, you want to do your due diligence to get it done. But if you can't, then you need to say, hey, we couldn't do that, by the way, because our biggest traffic hours are from 3 to 5 p.m. So what you're asking, we'll have to do later in the day if you need, or, you know, so the government's not so stringent. The thing is, you have to ask.
Communicate.
Very much communicate. Because when I used to award contracts, I worked on small, and I always tell small businesses, let's start with something small and build to the bigger ones, because $1 billion contract is $1 billion headache.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance wise, you got to show where you spent the money, you didn't pocket it all. They want to know that you made margin. That they're realistic with that, but don't think you're going to make 100% margin. It just doesn't work.
What is average expected margin?
Average expected margin is between 25% and 30%, depending on your industry.
That's actually higher than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some industries are a lot lower. Sure. Actually, in some aspect, construction, depending upon what it is, can be, you know, barely 10% based upon what it could, you know, what the project is.
Well, that's
is.
What I understand that CW yeah. Matthews is right. is operating at.
Right.
From what I understand, it's 12 and 14 and 16% right. sometimes. And there are so many places that money has to touch.
And reason being, for the most part, is the price of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, materials, you know.
Yeah, they might be spending $500 million walking into the door.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
just for materials alone, you know, whatever the case may be, what have you, based upon the project. So, you know, there's so many things that has to be weighed out in order for that project to be very successful. And speaking of oversight, yes, there is a federal official that's overseeing you or asking you questions or looking at things every day of that project. Mm-hmm. That is considered your boss, so to speak, but they're basically their job is to make sure that you are abiding by the actual contract, that you're not breaking any rules. And transparency is important. It's very critical. If you have an issue, talk to them. You know, mm-hmm. they'd much rather you talk to them and then versus go, you know, black ops silent, and all of a sudden they don't hear from you, and it's like, okay, well, where's Bailey and Company at, you know, mm-hmm. today, you know, today.
So they put in that we got a guy, he lives in your house,
uh-huh.
he rides to work with you, he uses your bathroom. New policy.
Yeah, that, yeah, okay. Right.
I get it.
Yeah. But I think the other thing is, you know, a lot of government contracts had to go into a halt situation during COVID because then the government had to redirect what their focus was.
Sure.
Like government shutdown, one of the things we tell businesses, you got to diversify your portfolio. So don't put all your eggs in the basket of government, because if they shut down,
mm-hmm.
the only government people, only small businesses that got paid during the government shutdown is if you worked for VA hospital, you know, essential.
Sure.
They got paid. But if you are a consulting firm or technology firm, they're kind of holding your check back, you know?
What about, are there these needs in every industry?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So my company too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Huh.
So think about this.
I don't know how much government credit card processing we want to do, it's worth the conversation.
It is worth the conversation. So think about this. You have the parking ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the courthouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do they ask you to pay for it now? A credit card.
Yeah.
They will not take a check anymore.
Okay.
So that's a credit card processing.
Okay. And you're the tackler
mm-hmm.
of those scenarios.
Yeah. People like don't even think. They're like, you guys are crazy in these processes. Like when we heard about the CVS and Walgreens, I'm like, oh my God. Do you understand all these small businesses that do drug testing, all that? That's work for them.
Sure.
But they have to understand they got to get themselves ready for that. They can't wait, you know?
Yeah, that's, Huh. Yeah, that plays both sides of the sword. That's a double-edged sword there. As you prepare, be ready to do the work.
So do you remember the commercial with UPS? Then they had the little robot on the
I do.
And then they had four of them. And then they saw the order for 100,000. They're like, oh, yay, we're excited. And then they saw the million. They all fell over. That's literally what the government is like. They'll start with one. Then they'll start with 1,000. Then they'll start. I mean, but you have to prepare for that.
Sure.
Sure. And if you don't have that preparation, and one of the things we have a couple of clients, they won contracts, but guess what? They need the capital now because they don't, it takes 60, 45.
And you can leverage those government contracts as potential capital assets.
You can, but some banks are good at it, some banks aren't. I'm just telling you the truth. We had one, they went and showed them the letter and they're like, okay, and? So we help them with some funding alternative to set so that they can pay payroll. They can get their equipment. Because guess what? The last thing you want to tell the government is, hey, I thank you for letting me get that contract, but can I start next month? Because I don't have any capital to make that happen.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that.
That would be not be good at all.
Or a lot of, in fact, it was a big issue and that construction industry had to totally change, but big firms were holding the government money and then they're pushing to pay their subcontractors 45 to 60 days later. That's not fair to your subcontractors. Sure. So now the new rule is prime contractor has to pay subcontractor within a time period. So those things... Lessons learned from past has helped in that aspect.
So, and you're talking about opening that door to, like, you're opening the door of the International Space Station. As soon as you get your foot in the door cracked open, it's wide open there. How much, when you win that first government contract, is repeat business?
It's huge.
It's like that rental history. Mm-hmm. There's only a certain amount that they give that history to, and they want to continue doing business with those people.
Yeah, because you, like Roger was saying, is the relationship.
Well, you build a relationship, and if you're doing the work and you're doing it on time, you're doing it right, and you're being proficient about it, they will keep rewarding you with things to do, so to speak. And I'm just putting it lightly, but you're building your reputation at that point. So, and you get graded on it. There are databases out there that have X Acme company in it that's doing well, or you know, those types of things. And so you have to understand the magnitude of, you know, what the customer, in this case the government, is asking for. So you know, they're spending on the average, you know, half a billion dollars a year just in government contract procurement, just on simple things. Sometimes it's there. It's just if you want to go down that road and deal with all the
nuances. It's like snowboarding. You're strapped into the snowboard, and if you start down that hill, you are most certainly going down the hill.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That makes sense. Well, I want to.
You got to learn how to fall too.
That's that communication, though.
Yeah.
As long as you tell me, hey, I'm about to fall, go around me. You don't get smashed. So tell me, how can we help? I know how we've helped, but it's my audience as well, and our network, especially kind of the people that you haven't taught. How do we stay in your inner loop and get in contact with you? What does that referral or referral partner that you're looking for look like?
A referral partner is like a CPA, because they deal with a lot of small businesses, attorneys, of course, payroll has been a big one lately. And somebody who sells health insurance to businesses, they don't, you know, they want to figure out how to grow the company. Because everybody wants, if they hear the word grow in contracts, they kind of go hand in hand. So they really need to understand what that means, you know, in this this time. And I think I've talked to a lot of businesses since the new year. A lot of them never had a business assessment. And that's kind of an opening door to see if they're even prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been doing a lot of business assessments this last year. So I, you know, since last March, because they want to know, am I ready for it? And if I'm not, what do I need to do so that when I can come back to you and talk to you, you know, a couple months from now, and then we can come back to it, you know?
Yeah, we should have that conversation with our business as well, because municipalities, not even municipalities, actually, anything that we associate with red tape, restaurants included, anything with a huge barrier to entry and credit card processing is something, not that we've avoided. When that need has arisen, it's definitely something that we attack full force.
I just thought of a contract for you guys, the airports.
Yeah.
Because you know why? All the concessionaires, if you notice, they all have the same terminal because a percentage has to go back into the airport budget.
Well, we were just talking about prisons.
Yeah.
Prisons is one of the most obscene.
Oh.
Because if Tristan here goes to prison tomorrow and I need to send, you would have to do something serious to go to prison tomorrow. If I need to send you $40, you get...
Is that what it's going to take?
Yeah.
Only $40. That's all you're worth, man.
That's all you're getting
for $40.
No, I think you get paid a week out, so you at least get one paycheck in there after you go. If I have to send you $4,000, you get $3,993.
Exactly.
You know, you get $6, $8, $10, $12.
Well, think about the phone system when you call when
emails,
a prisoner.
Commissary. They're everything is a transfer of money that costs you some money.
Right.
Everything is emails, phone calls, food. All of that is its own currency. When you transfer money to one of those currencies, they take their exchange rate out.
Yep, they sure do.
So if there was anything that we could do for them, make money would be cool. Keep the prison doing what they're doing and keep them happy would be cool. But if there was any way for us to take some of whatever the credit card processor is making off of that and making it easier for people to talk to their families, that's something I'm interested in.
Okay.
There's less of a revenue point of view and more of a, you guys are ridiculous. You know, like, because I understand the cost.
Right.
Like, the cost on one of those exchanges money is so insignificant sometimes, especially as you're talking about low transactions, debit cards, secure green dots and JPays. Like, though, there is no, you know, you're talking about a percentage of a percentage of a percentage of a percentage down the road there in some small transaction fee. You're charging people 30%, 20%, 15% of their money.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something that we would love, and we would love an assessment to see kind of the bandwidth that we have to control that. But
definitely.
Tell people, because I want to kind of wrap it up here, tell people how to reach you. Tell people your website, email, phone number, you frequent, your favorite coffee shop.
Oh, there's a couple good ones. So DUnity Group, it's DUnitygroup.com. I'm on LinkedIn. Roger's on LinkedIn too. Mm-hmm. Roger Vaughn, Stacy Vaughn. We have a Twitter account. We have Instagram. We're pretty uniform on our, this is the military. We're uniform on all our social media. I would say that and then the name. And then our office number is 678-701-8495. You can leave us a message, text us, and say, hey, we'd love to have. And we're always always about giving a free consultation, because sometimes people don't really know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can figure out if this is a good fit for you, or do you, you know, investment. Because it's an investment and time. You know, it's both. So we definitely like. And then, you know, we're here in Metro Atlanta, but we do work with clients all over the United States.
Sure.
So we're not just... And I just had one in California this afternoon. So we're all about working efficiently for everybody at that point.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. I appreciate the service from both of you, first and foremost. I appreciate you and your networking efforts and your business and the impact that you guys have made from a thought process, from networking, from a validation and kind of proving that concept for us by being so present. We told everyone from the beginning with our networking bike is we have the bike here, and if you ride it, we think it's going to work. And you guys helped us really prove that concept. So
definitely.
Us opening up the podcast space for you guys to come in here and talk for a little bit is the least that we can do. And I hope that you guys can give us an assessment and we can have a part two of this and continue to kind of push this idea down the road, because there's few and far between that are providing the service that you guys are providing at the rate that I know you're providing at, because I know you guys as people. So.
Yep.
If there's anything else that you, anything else you want to say, anything else you're looking for,
stay safe.
Ahead.
Stay safe. Yeah,
absolutely.
And understand that, you know, we may be in COVID for a while, but there's still contracts being given out.
Money spent.
Money spent. Yes.
Always. Yeah. Well, cool. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Wrapping it up.
Thank you.